Next speaker is, there's a slight change in the program. It is still Open Images, but it will be Roland Odelman talking about Open Images audiovisual content exploitation. So maybe somewhat in the same line. Welcome.
Thanks. Is it okay? Good morning. I assume you are also interested in a cup of coffee, as I am. So I want to do some rock and roll, and talk about audiovisual content exploitation in the Network Information Society. I'm from the Netherlands Institute for Sound and Vision, from the Research and Development Department. I'll talk a little bit about content exploitation, annotation technology, and user needs. I'll first explain a bit about the context of sound and vision, the digitization in the Images of the Future program, about annotation technology for enabling access, and how this works out for users. And actually, the main thing I want to talk about is the example, the crowdsourcing rock and roll multimedia retriever case. A little bit of background, we have a seemingly large archive with around 700,000 hours of radio, television, documentaries, films, etc., and still growing every day with digitally born television and radio programs made by the Dutch public broadcasting companies. About 15,000 hours of video annually. We have a pro-archiving service for regional broadcasters and cultural heritage archives, and we select Dutch audiovisual content from the internet. Well, to do something about this, we have a large digitization program called Images of the Future. And the main goal of this is to preserve this selection restoration, safeguarding heritage for future generations, but also creating social and economical value, unlock the social and economic potential of these collections. And with the amount of data we're talking about, you're also talking about new infrastructure, which could strengthen our knowledge economy. But when we're talking about these investments, you have to talk about business models as well. I don't want to talk about business models a lot, but what we did is cost-benefit analysis, and the main thing that strikes me is that there was a part about access. The effect of these investments is access for specific user groups. But, well, as we know, this is what I'll show in the lectures at the University of Twente, is, okay, it used to be content is king, but metadata isn't very important, as you know. And menu annotation is costly and limited in a certain respect. And there's been more than a decade of research efforts going on the semi-automatic annotation. For example, automatic information extraction from visual features, information from audio, crowdsourcing, and deploying all kinds of available textual data sources that are around, like subtitles, production scripts, meeting minutes, slides, etc. Of course, in a lot of European projects, European frameworks. And we've seen a lot of progress. Very nice laboratory showcases, commercial systems taking things up. So, also still work in progress, of course. On an institutional level, we need to do a lot of reorganization in the traditional archival workflows, obviously. On a national level, at least in the Netherlands, we see there's a development of common services, like in the CATCH project, which is running in the Netherlands. We try to develop OAI, precision identifiers, the speech recognition services, vocabulary repositories for common use. On a commercial level, we see uptake by multinationals and small medium enterprises. And maybe most importantly, the individual level, we have to bring about a shift regarding, well, more or less defensive attitude of content owners or archivists, etc., towards opening up their funded and protected archives. And the use of possibly noisy content descriptions coming from these automatic annotation technology. At Sound of Vision, we're what's called user of this technology, and we want to be really part of it. And we are very active in these research projects to try to get a grip on what this technology could do for us. We have a collaboration agreement with the Dutch Research Institutes. We have researchers really stationed at Sound of Vision to work with them and to get a feel of what we should do. We also have a research environment, which is an exact copy of our production environment, to do testing of this new technology, like speech recognition, video analysis, fingerprinting, etc. But what the impression that we have is that there's still kind of disparity between technology on one side and user needs on the other side. And user needs are user needs for an institute like us, but also the stakeholders of our institute, so the users of our archive, like the media professionals, journalists, research educators, and the general public. So from user perspective, general user perspective, we say, okay, we live in a rapidly evolving network of information society, so okay, we need to open up. That's one thing. We don't want to address that. But we also have to focus on the community-specific requirements. What are exactly the search needs, the information needs? And also, how do they want to be have it presented to them? What do we do with the presentation and interaction needs? And what we figure is that it is very important to draw the communities into the library workflow. And one important thing about that is that users are not interested in these people; they are interested in the beer. They're interested in the fragment level things, the diamonds that are in the collections. And we saw that, for example, in a survey we did with our main stakeholders, the broadcast professionals. We see they are interested in fragments of data. We see the most orders they did in our archive were under 5 minutes, with the major peaks at whole minutes. And when we asked them, okay, suppose you would like to search your archive with new technology, what would you like to have? I hope it's a little bit readable, but what I want to have most is specific shots. They want to search for words, named entities, objects, topics, speakers. These are the things they want, so really the tiny bits. In another project that we're doing with another user group, researchers, is also try to get grip on what they really want. We have a very nice project called Verteld for Leiders about oral history and about distributed collections, bringing it together and, well, okay, these kind of things. And we want to provide a demonstrator in this project to show how this technology could be helpful for these researchers. And what is very important, we want to acquire information on the specific user requirements they have. They don't have a good feeling about this technology, so we have to show them what would be possible, and we have to draw information from them, what we could use for further evaluation of the technology. So, about this drawing the community into the library, goals we have, more or less, is exploiting the community tagging thing, exploring the wisdom of the crowds, hooking up with user communities, and like everyone is a commentator, or these unexpected experts that are around there. Capturing relevant information from the internet, aligning this with archived items, and finding new ways for communities to interact with the data, such as, for example, storytelling or narratives. From a technology's perspective, one of the main things is that we need to provide anchor points, as I call it, for linking up with the cloud, so to say. We need to have entity detection, segmentation, cross-collection, speaker identification. We need to know the people, the places, the events, the topics, the quotes. We have to find them in our collection. And of course, synchronize web content, user-generated content with our archival documents. Shortly on this, yesterday I was talking about web archiving. What we want to do with web archiving is extend, on one hand, our archive, which is audiovisual content from the internet, but also use the internet web content as context information for the audiovisual data in the Sound and Vision archive. Like you can see, I hope that you can see it in the example, that you have this audiovisual data, but there's also this context information that you can use as metadata for this item. But on the other hand, there's also broadcast-related internet content on different websites. We can store it in a web archive. And for example, in this case, which is a document support system which we're currently building, In the process of generating metadata for an archived visual, audiovisual item, documented searches for relevant information on the internet, and internet search might fail. Information might typically be available for only a limited amount of time. So this internet archive works as a context database for relevant internet context. There's another example of getting users into the loop. My colleague Johan Omen will address this topic tomorrow at 10 o'clock in more detail. This is what I really want to talk about. Crowdsourcing Rock'n'Roll multimedia retrieval. This is a joint project with a number of universities, University of Amsterdam, University of Twente. And the background is that last year, the 40th birthday of the popular annual Dutch rock festival Pinkpop was celebrated. And what we have in our collection, which is we have been digitizing the past years, is content from only summaries to almost unabridged recordings, even including raw unpublished footage and also interviews. Digitizing images for the future program, and the goal was now to build an application for showcasing the history of this festival, of course, in an attractive way using state-of-the-art technology, because we were in a nice multimedia program and we want to share what we've done there. So the idea was, okay, we use state-of-the-art visual analysis to allow browsing collection on the basis of visual concert concepts, use speech recognition for browsing interviews, and exploit the popularity of this festival to get the rock and roll enthusiast community into the loop and to give, let them provide general feedback on technology and to improve and extend the labels that we provided via automatic technology and let them share this video fragment. We had some small issues to solve, like, for example, the IPR thing. Various Dutch broadcasters hold the copyrights of the content. But I said, okay, you may use it. We understand that you want to do a real large-scale study of this community-aided annotation and verification thing via an open internet platform. So, okay, for a limited time period of 3 months, when you display the video in a secured player and when we get access to the experimental results, you are granted to use it. That was very great. So a little bit about the visual search. I don't want to go into detail here, but the idea is that for each concept, a detector, a classifier is trained on the basis of manually labeled training data. And the good thing is that in this concept type video, a number of concepts are more or less fixed, more or less stable, in contrast to, for example, broadcast news domain, where you can have a lot of concepts. So we chose 12 based on frequency, based on the visual detection feasibility, of course, based on previous mentioning in literature and the expected utility for users. For each concept, several hundreds of examples were labeled manually with this tool, which was created in the VDVideo project. Very good. And we ended up with, I hope you can see it a bit, these examples, these concepts, and over the shoulder on the left, top left, guitar player, the Pinkpop logo, the nice lady in the pink shirt. Well, it's red here, but the audience, the drummer, interviewer, singer, stage, close-up, hands, Pinkpop hat, that was a joke, and keywords. Shortly about the fragment-level concept detection, we want to do fragments, not only these technically defined shots or keyframes, so we had a nice algorithm that finds the longest fragments with the highest average scores for a specific concept. And only the top N fragments per concert were loaded in the video player, which I'll talk about later. For speech recognition, we used an open source speech recognition toolkit that was developed in this multimedia project and Catch. And you might know that words in these transcripts are labeled with time codes. So for every word in these transcripts, you know where it was pronounced, where it was spoken in the audiovisual document. So what we did is we it was kind of noisy because these interviews were on stage with a lot of noise. So we want to filter this transcript, and we did it based on TF-IDF statistics, the frequency of the words in the data, to generate a time-synchronized term cloud. And via this term cloud, people could jump through the interviews. I will show an example later. The player was a timeline-based video player, with colored dots representing the different concepts. You could click on dot and then immediately the player starts playing from that part. And there was also a feedback window that you can see here where the user can say whether the concept was okay or not. You could also provide a command, reageer in Dutch, or share via email or Twitter. This is how the player looks like. It's a bit dark here, but you can maybe when I don't fall here, here are the dots. And on the left, there are the labels. And normally there are 12 concept labels there. And you can click on these labels to select the labels you're interested in. And then a lot of dots appear in the bottom. I'll show an example later. First, one thing. We want to encourage user feedback, of course. But we have to balance between appealing user interface and maximized user participation. We want to provide full-length concert videos. So when you're a music lover and you're not interested in feedback, okay, you can watch this full videos. No commercials. No interruptions, only graphical overlays. We want to have also the participant threshold kept low, so also no signing up, just clicking buttons, thumbs up or down. And of course, all user feedback was stored with IP addresses and user sessions. So, okay, I'd switch to the video, which I hope it works. This is the first. I have to find some audio. I guess this is audio. Sorry.
I hear the siren wailing, I see the flashing of the light. I know that there is trouble and there are battles yet to fight.
This is a singer from my hometown, so it's a nice example. But there you see how this works. You can click on these spots. You get this window. You can say, hey, this is okay or not okay in this time. And when it's not okay, you can choose which it should be. Well, that's about how it works. The other example is on the speech recognition. I must say the speech recognition failed a lot because of the background noises. But in this example, it worked quite well, of course. En je klikt.
We hadden wel een week al even gedaan.
Groningen. Nou ja, kijk, gewoon het Pinkpop hoofdpodium, dat is nou ook niet wat je weet.
Spelen. En maar toen werd ik opeens zwanger, toen was ik pas achter de bril uitgekeerd. Ik dacht dat.
Okay, this should give an idea. How it works. So. I would like to say about this, we have some 12,500 visitors in 3 months, which is quite a lot, with about 10,000 unique persons. We're quite happy about it. Well, visitors watched on average 3.5 page, average view 5 minutes. Busiest day was December 3rd, that was when we had a lot of visitors, because then we had the first lounge and a lot of media attention in television and media. Most traffic originated from refer sites, the most from the festival organization Pinkpop, who provided the link to our thing, and a music magazine in the Netherlands called OR, and the most important thing, user provided feedback was provided more than 4,000 times. So that's quite okay. We're very happy about that. Now the big question is, how can we use this feedback to improve on our automated multimedia analysis. And that's currently something we are working on. We have to find a PhD student who is willing to do that. So I want to wrap up here and would like to have a cup of coffee, as you also, I guess. What I wanted to say is that the value of archive is strongly related to access opportunities. Also is a large extent technology-driven thing. But we also need to make a shift from a laboratory view of this technology towards getting these users and these communities really into the loop. And we're trying to do that in a two-way strategy at Sound of Vision to want to incorporate the advanced access technology with the help of the researchers and the people that know a lot about this technology, but to discuss also the requirements with our main stakeholders. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
And
thank you very much. Are we on? Yeah, thank you very much. Rock and roll, Roland. You can go catch your breath and a cup of coffee now. We have a couple of announcements. I would like to say that for those of you who like short breaks, the second half of today's lunch break, so right before the afternoon session, we will be running some digital film clips here, so 4K, since we brought in a 4K projector for the symposium, in case somebody wanted to bring 4K footage. We will actually be displaying some of that, and that will take place the last half hour of the lunch break. So if some of you want to run out and catch a quick sandwich and come back, that's an opportunity. And then Lisa has an announcement.
And then for the tickets tonight for the Liv Ullmann Faithless, that she will introduce herself or talk about before the screening, there are limited tickets, but you will all get in for her introduction. And we will also then make a new screening at 9 o'clock if for those of you that really also want to see the film. But there are now tickets available outside, a limited amount. But I also want to remind you that at the same time, at 6 o'clock in our other theater, as part of the 70mm Festival, we do have a lecture on Windjammer at 6 o'clock, and then a screening of the film at 7:30. So you can get the tickets there at the Film Institute. And also, if you're not able to get the Liv Ullmann Faithless ticket now, from here, you can get tickets for the 9 o'clock screening at the film house, at the reception there. And have a nice coffee break now.